Hey, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Welcome to today's edition of Education Talk Radio, Pre-K-12 edition, on October 26, 2021, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. We have a really nice show for you today. Yes, it's a nice show. We've got Nick Watson here. Nick is the program lead of College Point, which is a national Bloomberg philanthropies-backed initiative to connect high-achieving, lower-income students to free virtual college advising on financial, etc. All right? Free. Okay? This is a nice thing. Okay? You talk about equity. Okay? The needs for equity. That's what we do all the time here. So I can't wait to get into this with Nick and talk about College Point. It's at collegepoint.info if you want to check it out. We're all about equity here because we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And everything we do is at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. Our magazine called Equity and Access is over there. All right. All of our podcasts are archived, news, all that sort of stuff, and a link to our new website, which is called SEL Today. That's at seltoday.org, and that's all about social emotional learning. But you can check it all out at ace-ed.org, and I hope you do. You'll enjoy our magazine and everything we do over there and see all the podcasts we have. Okay, Nick, it's Larry Jacobs here. Call me Larry, and you're giving away free stuff. I love it. How you doing today, Nick?
Hey, Larry, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you?
I'm actually in New York City.
And how's life in New York City?
I will tell you, it's good. Today's a little hit or miss. It's definitely a rainy day, and cloudy here in the city with this nor'easter moving up the coast. But otherwise, can't complain.
Don't complain at all. And New York is back. The Big Apple is back. Broadway's back, et cetera. And this is a lovely thing. And I just want to say it again, collegepoint.info, okay? And this is like... I'm just going to read off your website. Supported by Bloomberg Philanthropies, College Point is a virtual advising program that helps top students apply to colleges and find scholarships and navigate the financial aid process, make college decisions entirely for free. And it's for kids, really, correct me if I'm wrong here, of lower income or kids of different socioeconomic needs. Nick, talk about it. It's great. You're going to heaven, Nick. You're going to heaven,
so
you know that. Yeah, you are.
No worries. Yeah, College Point, definitely our focus is helping high-achieving, lower-income students across the country get into not only apply, but also ultimately enroll and get into the colleges they so rightfully deserve to be in. And so we're looking at families who are making $80,000 or less and really helping them because what we know is that they don't have the resources available to hire the private tutors or go to coaching programs that may cost a lot of money outside of extracurricular activities. And so we're able to offer a free program to these students.
And did you say 80,000 or 18,000? 18 or 80?
80. 80,000.
80?
Yes, sir.
You know, 80,000 used to be a hell of a lot of money a year. Have things really changed? Wow.
Things have changed quite a lot. Yes, indeed. Tell me about it.
Right. So, wow, that's just incredible. All right. When did this all start? How does it work? Talk about it, Nick.
Yeah, so College Point actually the initiative itself was actually formed in 2014. And so we've been around for quite some time now. Think about 8 years ago, what was really happening in the education space. Hoxie had come out with a study that talked about undermatching and this phenomenon of when you have high achieving, so meaning highly academically qualified students who just were not applying to top colleges in this country. Instead, they would apply to schools where their academic talents just were not being met, which ultimately means that they would enroll in schools that they just weren't excited about being in, and then they would not persist, nor would they graduate in a timely fashion. And so what you really saw was, again, all this talent going to waste because they just weren't matched to the right institutions for their academic
success. Interesting.
Yeah, and so College Point, what we really tried to do was just, you know, how do we solve for that in a way that's scalable across the country?
Yeah, and I have to ask you, this is an interesting question. How do you guys determine the top schools, the way you said that? Okay, and I'm just curious about that because somebody who goes – well, I don't even know. I won't even mention any schools, but are you talking about the Ivies? What are you talking about? When you rank top schools. Yeah, yeah. And you know what I mean. I'm trying to make people understand. Like, and I'll just like University of Kansas, good school, top school. I don't know. Tell me that kind of thing. By the way, I live in Maine. Let's use that, the University of Maine. Okay, up in Orono. Okay, how do we talk about this? Yeah, you know what I mean.
Great question, Larry. You know, the way that we describe top colleges and really think about it with our students and families is really honing in on the schools in this country that graduate 70% of their students in a four-year time span.
Wow.
Over the last 3 years. And so that's a very selective group of schools, right? Because as you probably know,
wow,
a lot of you listeners probably know too, most students are graduating somewhere between that 4 and 6 year period. But we're
That's
looking
right.
at schools where students can really get in, get the job done, and really get their career started. And so it's about a list of about 350-ish schools. Every year the number changes because we're looking at a three-year kind of period of graduating 70% of your students every year for 3 years in a row. And so the numbers do change, but it usually falls around 320, 350 schools every year. So those are the schools that we're really trying to, again, hone in, and when we're talking to students and families about making, you know, informed decisions and choices around where they're enrolling, we're focusing on those 350 schools.
And what you're focusing on is not getting into college. What you're focusing on is the financial aid process. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, it's actually twofold. So we're focused on not only getting into school, but then how do we help students and families understand how they pay for an education in this country? So it's definitely both ends of it.
That's really good. So you can help. And again, this is free. This is free.
It's totally free. Yep.
Wow. It's unbelievable. You have a statistic here that blew my socks off here. The rising cost of college has outpaced what families can afford to pay for post-secondary education. This is why I asked that question before. In fact, for families earning less than, here's where that number came up, $18,000 a year, which is a quarter of American families. Is that correct? People earning less than $18,000 a year, the 25% of American families? Holy hey. Okay, the average cost of attending college obviously is 94% of that income. Okay, wow,
it's crazy.
And that's it is that's nuts. Okay, and of course those kids we are wasting the brains, the minds. Okay, what these people can do in the future if we don't help these kids get into college that really matter. All right. So talk about how the virtual advising works. This is really cool.
The way that College Point works is once students enroll, so there's several ways that they can enroll. Either they can go online to collegepoint.info and they can sign up there. We also deploy social media recruitment as well because we know students are definitely either on Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok. And so they can find us there. Or we also, another recruitment arm that we use is actually the old-fashioned method of just calling students and families and asking them if they want to be a part of this program. And the way that we find students is working with partners like the Common Application, Jack Kent Cook Foundation, College Board, and ACT. And so from any of those methods, once students actually sign up with the program, then are assigned to one of our four advising partners. And we work with some really great organizations around this country who really are trying to solve not only this equity gap when it comes to having more students apply, but also enroll, persist, and graduate in these schools, again, that they so rightfully deserve to be in. And so students are paired one-on-one with an advisor at one of our organizations, and they will work with that student typically from the time the student is a second semester junior all the way through the end of their senior year of college, senior year of high school. And so students and advisors really have a chance to build a relationship that's not just focused on, you know, tell me what your college list, your college dream schools are, but really getting at the heart of what is it that you think you want to do after high school? What interests you? What is driving you to apply to schools, right? And really getting to know each other so that at the end of the day, it's conversations that are not only just about, you know, applying to colleges and or having to help a student revise their essay or even look for scholarship opportunities and figuring out ways to pay for college. But, you know, we have tons of advisors who have conversations with students about, well, can you help me pick out a dress for prom? Or I'm really nervous about flying that far. You know, can you talk to me about how, you know, your first time flying somewhere, right? So the conversations become a lot more nuanced and a lot more personal. Again, really helping to drive home this decision that is so important for so many students at the age of 17 and 18.
Well, they don't know what they're doing. They think they know what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing. Okay, it's that simple. And, you know, I was thinking like a kid from rural New York as an example, okay, way upstate. Okay, they may think that, and please, this is not anything like SUNY Albany. That might be the school they're thinking of because it's close by. It's a decent school, all right, et cetera.
Right.
But and again, no offense to SUNY Albany, that kid might be a Stanford person. Or a Harvard person,
correct,
or whatever, all right? And you got to know that, and sometimes you just can't know it because you just don't know it, okay? And that's why this is so important, you know, and I that sounds silly, but it's true, okay? People are, you know, molded by their environment, okay? And they may not think they can do it, and here's the way to do it. And I want you to talk about this. This is key. Who are your advisors? And I know who they are, so I'm asking you a question I already know. But I think this is important. So high school students, you know, their teachers now are listening. Who are the advisors? This is cool.
Yeah, that's a great question. So our advisors really span the gamut. Each one of our organizations, they all have a different model and the advisors that they hire. Two of our organizations, College Possible and the College Advising Corps, actually hire recent college graduates to act as advisors who they then train, and then they work with students one-on-one. At our organization, Scholar Match, they actually have a volunteer-based model, which actually recruits both working and retired professionals across a number of fields to, again, that they will train and then work with their students one-on-one throughout the entire year. And these folks are, some are current deans of admissions or financial aid, or they were in the tech sector or the financial services. Some actually have their own college consulting firms where they actually do this for a living, but they work with the College Point Initiative pro bono to help expand their reach. And then at our last organization, Matriculate, they actually hire and recruit current college students.
Yeah.
And so these students are spread across different colleges around the country who are sophomore status or above, who literally just went through this process themselves, and they're now working directly with students who are going through the process themselves. And so, again, our advisors have this range and depth that I think they're all able to bring to the table, a different perspective and experience that really help, again, our students and families understand this process in a much more nuanced way.
And let me ask you this, Nick. This is important. Your partner organization, I just want to go down the list again, and wonderful people, College Advising Corps, College Possible,
mm-hmm.
Scholar Match, and Matriculate. Okay, that's off your website.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Let me just ask this. How do you get, and let me finish the whole sentence, the whole question, how do you get the word out? And I'm asking this because, and I've actually had people on the phone who have been through this situation from very rural, in this case, Georgia, okay, a very poor town, mostly African-American. This gentleman eventually became a big-time lawyer, all right? How do you get to the kids who are in a situation like that in a poor town away from the world of academia, so to speak? And I'll say this, in his case, in a not-so-great school district, how do you get the word out so that these kids know they can apply to colleges to begin with and think about college to begin with? Okay, that's key stuff, okay? Because all the groups
For sure.
you're talking about are already college folks. How do you get the word? Are you talking to high school teachers, high school counselors? I'm just curious.
Yeah, Larry, you know, it really, for us, it's really about partnership is how we get the word out. And so we do partner. We do partner with high school communities around the country, whether it's sending out information through the National Association of College Admissions Counselors and their internal channel.
NACAC.
Correct. Partnering with folks at the College Board, the Common Application, or even just word of mouth. I will tell you, because the program has been around for 8 years, we have tons of alumni out there who I am just so grateful and humbled by them speaking the joys of the program itself and how much it helped them in their process and where and how they would not be where they are today without their advisor. And so I think, you know, ultimately, again, we look to really deploy a lot of different recruitment channels, but it's really about partnership and getting word of mouth out from a bunch of different channels, particularly for that student like you named, right? The student who's in a rural community where maybe education is not top of mind for a lot of folks. And so really, how do we get into those places? It's, again, it's a combination of a lot of stuff, but it's really about partnering with people who the student may have contact with. You know, again, that social media has been really important for us over the last couple of years, especially with the growth of applications like TikTok and Snapchat.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so many students who found us through a TikTok video, right? I can tell you, I do not know how TikTok works, but our students do, and they find us that way, right? And so it's a great, it's been a great opportunity for us to reach even more students.
That's funny, actually. I don't know either, but I wish I could help you on that, but I can't. All right? But you're right. You got to reach the kids where they are, okay? And I also suggest you got to reach them with their educators in high school so that they can pass the word to them, et cetera, et cetera. But I have a feeling you're already doing that. And we work very closely with ACT here, so I know you're doing a good job there. I want to talk to you about – first of all, I want to ask two things. How many students do you work with on average over the course of a year? You know,
In the course of a year, it can be anywhere between 6,000 to 10,000. This year, we're actually working with. The goal is to work with 8,000 students this year.
Well, right in the middle. That's perfect. Okay, that's excellent. And great. And how do you choose? Does everybody who apply get accepted, or how does that work?
Unfortunately, they don't, which I wish that our program in some ways served even more students. But again, we're focused on a very narrow student population. And so when we say high-achieving students, what we're talking about are students who, if they have taken a standardized test, so either the SAT, ACT, or PSAT, and they score within the 90th percentile, that's what we're talking about. Well, they also need to have at least a 3.5 GPA. And again, that family income band is important to us because we want to focus on the students who need the help the most. And so if students have not sat for a standardized test, we do have a test optional pathway for eligibility. And so students need to have taken or be currently enrolled in college level courses. And so that can be AP, IB, or dual enrollment courses. Have at least a 3.7 GPA, and again, still have that $80,000 family income.
Yeah.
And again, this is, again, what we're trying to do is really reach the students who we know can succeed and belong at these top colleges, right? And so we're really trying to find them because what we know is that a lot of these students are in under-resourced communities. And
absolutely.
We have tons of students every year who apply to us. And, you know, if they don't meet our eligibility criteria, we don't just say, you know, thanks for applying, but no thanks. Instead, what we do is we actually share resources with them that they might not have known about, like the resources from the Reach Higher initiative from the Common Application, or pointing them to Khan Academy, or even to College Board of the Future, or some of ACT's resources, right? We're pointing students because what we know ultimately is they came to us for a reason, and it wasn't just because they wanted to, you know, meet a new friend. It was because they really need help and assistance in the process. And so even if they're not eligible to work with one of our advisors, we still want to point them in the right direction.
You're good guys. I got to tell you, this is a wonderful thing. I just love this. You know, I guess they're still around. The United Negro College Fund used to say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Okay?
Yep.
And it is. All right, and you know, we want all these kids to go to school. We want the best students to go to the best schools. It's that simple. That shouldn't just that everybody needs to know about. It's a wonderful path that you guys are providing. How did the pandemic affect all this, if I may, Nick?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, I will say having 6 years running the program, having up and running, and at that point having served well over 50,000 students, you know, we were, I think, rightly positioned for the pandemic, right? No one wanted to go through it, but I think if anything, we were able to not only lean in on our own learnings, but also bring a lot of other organizations along with us. You know, we partnered with the National College Attainment Network and their group of members to actually host a webinar talking about how you get a virtual program off the ground. What are the things that you need to look for? What are some of the challenges, right? So we were able to, again, share some of our learning. But not only that, we were also a resource that was rightly placed for so many students who did not have access to a trained and knowledgeable person in their lives, particularly for the class of 2020, the class of 2021, and as we're saying, even for the class of 2022, as high schools still figure out the way forward, right? College Point was, I think, again, uniquely positioned to help so many students in this time of need. And even for the students who weren't eligible for our program, again, being able to direct them to resources that they may not have known of because they were not in their high schools, talking with someone who could say, you know what, you should actually check out Big Future, or you should go take a look at you know, Reach Higher and their resources over at the Common Application to help you get through this, right? We were able to be that kind of stopgap for so many students in the country, which I, you know, it was a really great moment for us, I think, in so many ways. But if more than anything, I think about the students that we were able to help and assist, particularly in the class of 2020, man, talk about just drawing a bad hand, you know, like
brutal.
In the middle of
you're not kidding.
You know, you've applied to all these schools and all of a sudden, who do you talk to about how you make that decision, right? College Point was right there in the middle of it, helping students and families, not only in that moment, but even longer. You know, in the class of 2020, we actually worked with those students all the way through, for a lot of students, all the way through September of their freshman year of college, really making sure that they transitioned smoothly, but also that they were connected to the right people and places on the ground so that they could have as much of a quote-unquote normal experience as was possible during that time. And, you know, we've even been able to double down on a lot of that stuff with the class of 2021. We were able to offer tech assistance, again, for so many students who, you know, really utilize their computers at school to do a lot of the college application work, right, whether it's applying for colleges or filling out the essay. Man, I was so happy that we were able to offer small grants students to either, you know, purchase a laptop or pay for Wi-Fi in their home or be able just to be connected to their advisor, right, whether it was helping to pay for a phone bill. I mean, we were really able to help that class. And I feel like we're doing the same thing for the class of 2022, even though it's not a tech grant. Man, I think we have learned so much from the past 2 years of being in this pandemic that, again, I think we're just super excited about being able to help so many students in this time of need.
Well, excuse me, just as I said that, I swallowed wrong. Well said, my friend. While I'm swallowing here, talk about some stories of students, okay, anecdotally, you must follow the kids whose lives have been impacted. I apologize for that cough. Go ahead, Nick.
No worries, Larry. You know, that's the thing that makes all this work real, right? When you hear the stories from our advisors who are working day in, day out with not only the students but also their families, and trying to make the reality of going to their dream school or a place that they didn't even know they could get into a reality for them, right? And so we could talk about Ansley from Alabama. Ansley is from a under-resourced community in Alabama where 3/4 of her high school are actually economically disadvantaged, right? So under-resourced. Here she was. She applied or signed up for College Point. She got connected to an advisor. They worked together for the entire year and a half. And Ansley now is at Georgetown on a full ride, right?
Wow.
And it's exactly that we're talking about, right? These students who are coming from communities where they don't have someone who's saying, you do belong in a place like Georgetown. And all of a sudden we're able to offer them an advisor who's knowledgeable and trained in this process, and the student ends up in a place like Georgetown, right? I think we could also talk about students students who actually live in urban areas too. I think those sometimes, you know, there's this misconception that just because you live in an urban area that there's all these things at your fingertips. Well, that may be true, but if you can't afford them,
exactly,
you know, what good are they, right?
Yeah.
And so Rova, who's from the Bronx, right? Here in New York City, there's so many community-based organizations out there, and here he was, a person who didn't know that he could actually apply to a place like Vassar, right, which is here in New York State, never even thought about it. Him and his advisor had a conversation about, you know what, you so rightfully deserve to be at a place like Vassar. You want to go to a liberal arts school. Why would you not apply, right, and encouraging him along the way. I can say to you right now that Rova is at Vassar on a full ride, right?
Congrats,
and then a lot
man,
of that
great.
Is due to, like, his advisor and that persistence. And, again, getting this message home that you belong at these places, right? Yeah, you may not have heard of them, but let me talk to you about a place that I think you would fall in love with if you could just experience it, right? And we have, and you know, those are just two stories. I could talk all day
the
about
stories are great,
that
and they sum it up. Let me ask something, Nick. There is one. I have a question about this, and let's use your first example there. You have a student from rural Alabama, all right, and that's a very different place from downtown Washington D.C. in Georgetown.
Yeah.
Okay. Very different place, and while that student certainly is qualified to go to Georgetown and you walk them through the process, are you working with them? Because that's a serious cultural change for anyone. Okay?
I'm curious,
how does that work? You know, because what you're doing is wonderful. Please don't misunderstand my question. But there are cultural challenges. I don't know if the kids are black or white or whatever the case may be, but just moving from rural Alabama, all right, to downtown D.C. is a big move for anyone. I'm just curious how you operate through that.
No, for sure. I mean, I think your question is a great one, that a lot of our students and families, there's that resistance at first, right, when they're working with their advisors. And if you're the student who's from Alabama and your advisor's like, hey, have you ever thought about going to Washington, D.C. for college? You know, if that was never your thought, your first reaction might be, oh, my gosh, no, I've never thought about going there. Yeah. Why would I think about going there, right? But then, what our advisors do a really great job at is demystifying all of this, not only the college application process, but really talking about what the transition is going to be like, right, and building those skills early on in the process. So if a student says, you know what, I do want to, like, stretch my legs a bit and get out of Alabama and, you know, would be interested in going to a city. Great. Let's talk about how large of a city you really want to go to, right? Is there too big for you? Is there too small for you?
Right.
Really getting to know the student in that manner, right? But I think also along with that, it's also bringing the family along too, right? Because what we know is that so many students, particularly first-generation students, have so many other responsibilities in their day-to-day life at home that they just can't drop to go across the country to California, particularly if they're a student,
let's say,
from Maine, right? And so what we have to do is bring the entire family along, and our advisors have done a tremendous job at this, for the last 8 years. You know, the pandemic, I think, even revealed even more anxiety students and families are having about leaving their communities in this uncertain time. But again, our advisors are really able to dig in from the beginning, have really concrete and intentional conversations about what it would be like if you went to this school. And not only conversations, but through another initiative that is jointly held here at Bloomberg Philanthropies called the American Talent Initiative, we're able to connect students to folks on campuses where they could talk to them about what it would mean to come from rural Alabama to go to Washington, D.C., right? And it's not only talking to administrators or deans or faculty members. It's also being able to connect them to actual College Point students at those campuses. We run a program called College Point Ambassadors where we actually recruit alumni from the program the year before, and really just ask that they would be willing to share their story or talk to students who are interested in the places that they are attending, right? These are students who are exactly like them in so many ways. And so being able to really not only have the conversations, but also expose our students to people who are living the life that they might live is so important, and we do it right from the very beginning.
You know, Nick, I tell you, you got a wonderful program there, and you know what you're doing is so important. I go back to what I said before: the old United Negro College Fund. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. okay? And we can get these kids into the very best schools. And it's hard, but you guys are doing just such a great job. I really mean it. It's College Point, everybody. collegepoint.info, okay, on the web. Nick, thanks a million. This is great. Keep up the good work. You can sleep soundly at night. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. So,
thanks so much, Nick.
You and all your team. Thanks, Nick. You take care. Appreciate you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Nick Watson, everybody. He's at Bloomberg. It's Bloomberg Philanthropies. But the it's College Point, and it's collegepoint.info. So if you've got a high-achieving, I'll call it lower-income family that's under 80 grand a year, okay, I tell you, things are changing. Please, it's great advising to get into the best schools. All right, you heard it all here. collegepoint.info. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org so you can tell your friends about that. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. A big thank you to Emma and Nick for helping me put together this show. Thanks for listening, everybody.